In every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, and timeless Western style. Whether you're looking to elevate a casual look or add a refined flair that'll draw both eyes and compliments, Tecovas boots will do the trick. The best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by the smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. And if you're planning to hit the road, Tecovas' ever-growing lineup of rugged and full-grain leather bags will get you where you're headed in style and are built to last decades. Visit Tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and don't go gently, y'all. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs, look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. This is the Zabecast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go.
I was born into a world of hope, optimism, peace, love, books, and music. I got to know Dan Le Batard years and years ago. I got to know Stu Goss. I got to know all the other guys on your team there. I'm a team guy, and I'm really enjoying this year's NBA Finals. I found basketball when I was 8 years old, 3 years after I found my bike. And then, just 1 year later, I found Chick Hearn on the radio, and that changed everything for me.
Rest in peace, Bill Walton, a true American sports original. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a Zabecast solo edition on a Tuesday, May 28, 2024. Hopefully you had a great Memorial Day weekend. Bill Walton dies at 71 after a battle with cancer. And when you read about and are reminded of the arc of his career, not just pro career, but college career as well, and then extending into his ongoing media exploits, I'm blown away. It's like he's the modern Forrest Gump of sports, if you think about it in that regard. The stuff you read about him, you go, that could not have happened, but it did. And over and over and over again.
I hate flopping. Please. Hey, come to play
flopping.
Ball.
Come on.
Abuse the rules of human defense.
Come on. I used to have so many Bill Walton sound bites. Can't play them for you here. They're on my instant replay. Actually, wait a minute. Hold on a second. I can. Excuse me. My GERD is back, by the way. Thank you very much for asking. I did run out of medication. The prescription omeprazole, which is a proton pump inhibitor. And I thought, well, maybe I don't need it now. Yeah, I need it. So got to call the doctor first thing on Tuesday, and I'm sure I'll be put on hold for about 4 hours because everybody and their mom going to be calling their doctor after a long weekend and calling places to get things fixed. Our garbage disposal in the house decided to shit the bed over the weekend. My wife notices, what's all this water doing in the cabinet underneath the sink? I was like, I don't know. And then it's like, oh, great. The garbage disposal, the bottom just rusted out of it. So doing pretty good right now. But yes, I would collect Bill Walton sound bites over the years because there was just one after another after another that was better than the last, including his rants about things like flopping.
I hate flopping. Please come to play ball. Don't come to abuse the rules of human decency.
I don't even know where to begin on all the Bill Walton stuff, but at 71 seems younger. I thought he was older. But either way, the basketball world has lost a true original. So I was reading up on, just refreshing my memory, on his career. NCAA champion twice, three-time player of the year, Naismith player of the year, which you would say, well, why not four? Because they didn't allow freshmen to play in college basketball. At the time that he was recruited, the assistant coach at UCLA called him the best basketball player he'd ever seen at 18 years old. And John Wooden said, don't say that. It makes you look stupid. Well, it turns out the assistant coach was right. He won three Player of the Year awards in college, two championships, had 44 in the final against Memphis, which stands as a NCAA record still in terms of points in a NCAA final. They went 86-4 with him at UCLA. It was part of an 88-game win streak in which it only ended because they lost to Notre Dame when Walton was, ready for this, playing in a back brace because of what had begun a long struggle with injuries. I mean, everything. Every body part broke down on Bill Walton. Some of it was hereditary. Some of it was the fact that he sprouted up from like 6'1 to 6'7. I believe in his sophomore to junior year in high school, before finally ending at 6'11", 7 feet, where he, you know, played at in his college and pro career. Some of it was his body grew quickly, and, you know, when that happens, parts break. And then there was dumb shit, like he broke his toe on a sprinkler. He fell off a dirt bike and broke his leg. And it just went on and on and on. The third year in his pro career at Portland, they won the championship. He finally kind of got himself together and was able to play most of the year. And they went through Kareem and then Dr. J in the Western Conference Finals and the NBA Finals to win Portland's only NBA title. The next year, they come out to a 50-10 start and they were rolling. And then he broke his foot. Was still named league MVP, despite only playing 58 games that year. Ends up, he demands a trade out of Portland. He sued the team doctor over malpractice. I don't know how legit that was. They settled it out of court. Again, he had so many things that went wrong with him. I don't know how you could say it's medical malpractice because of, you know, what the doctors were doing. He said, I want out of here. So he becomes a free agent, and then he sits and waits, and nobody signs him. And then after a year out of the game, he's signed by the Clippers. Now, here's the crazy thing. Back in the day when a team would sign a veteran free agent, they would have to pay the other team compensation in terms of players. And so the Clippers had to give up a first-round pick, Kermit Washington and another player, and like $350,000, while the Clippers were paying Walton at that time a very hefty salary of $7 million over 7 years. I know, it's quaint, right? $1 million a year for 7 years. But when he arrived in San Diego with the Clippers, his hometown of San Diego, the Clippers, the teammates who are still there, hated him. Because the rules of the NBA meant it decimated the team, giving up two warm bodies, a first-round pick, and they're looking at him like, well, I'm glad you're making a lot of money. Fuck off. He finally ends up in Boston. And this is where the stuff about Bill Walton crosses over from, okay, that's a great story. I don't know exactly how true it is, but knowing Bill Walton, I bet it's truer than you think. Here's what Walton told Adrian Wojnarowski about being cleared by the Celtics doctors to go play in Boston with arguably the greatest NBA team of all time, the 86 Celtics. He said, when I got to the Celtics, the biggest problem was I had to pass a physical, and there's no way I'd be able to pass it. Red Auerbach, though, showed up at the hospital. As the doctors are all looking at my x-rays, I could hear them talking. I just left everything back in California. I'm coming here. I'm moving to Boston. No idea how it's all going to play out. And I could hear the doctors talking amongst themselves. Well, what are we going to tell Red? We can't pass this guy. Look at his feet. Look at his knees. Look at his hands. Look at his wrists. Look at his spine. Look at his face. There's no way we can pass this guy. Your face. And then Red bursts in through the double doors at Mass General Hospital. And he's smoking his cigar and walks in and says, who are you guys and what are you doing with my player? And they're saying, Red, come here, look at this. Look at his feet, look at his face. We can't pass this guy, says Walton. And Red says, shut up, I'm in charge here. He pushes his way through the doctors, comes over. I'm lying on the table there in the doctor's examining room. And he looks down at me and says, Walton, can you play? And I looked up at him with the sad, soft eyes of a young man who just wanted one more chance. One more chance to be part of something special, to be part of the team, to be with the guys one more time. And I looked up at him and I said, Red, I think I can. I think I can, Red. And Red took a step back, folded his arms, and took a drag on that cigar. Oh my gosh, he held that smoke in as long as he possibly could. And you could just see all the machinations going on, all the calculations, all the deliberations on just how this is going to play out. And finally he exhaled. And I swear that smoke came out green. And it was shamrocks and leprechauns up against the white LED lights on the wall. And Red, through the smoke, with a big cherubic grin on his face, looked at the doctors, looked at me, and he said, he's fine. He's passes. Let's go. We've got a game. His first year with the Celtics was nothing short of magic. He received a standing O as his first game in Boston Garden, played a career-high 80 games, won Sixth Man of the Year, and helped the team win its second championship in 3 years, the last championship of the Larry Bird era. Walton's presence is in part why the 86 Celtics are still regarded as one of the best teams of all time, writes CBS Sports. That's fucking beautiful. Had a teepee in his backyard. Total hippie. Skipped the Olympics. The Russians were happy. I used to play a soundbite where they had a Russian guy. This Bill Walton is apparently a good big man. He did not come. He was a hippie. He was hiking the mountains. He did not play in the Olympics that year. Rest in peace, Bill Walton, a true original.
Wow. Grayson Murray's done it again. Sometimes it feels like it's meant to be.
My story's not finished. I think it's just beginning, and I hope I can inspire a lot of people going forward that have their own issues. It just goes back to my life is so good right now. I wouldn't trade anything. You know, I have a beautiful fiance. I have beautiful parents. I have beautiful nephews, siblings. You know, everyone in my life right now who is close to me, who has been through the struggles with me. It's all a team effort.
That was Grayson Murray earlier this year. The PGA Tour player took his own life after withdrawing from the Colonial over the weekend. I heard the news early from a source who's got great PGA Tour sources well before it went public, and I said, oh my God, you got to be kidding me. No, this can't be. But sadly, depression and suicide and alcoholism and substance abuse remains one of those things in life that really humbles everyone. Thinking, how? Why? I thought he had turned the corner, but the struggles that go on inside all of us, but some people more than others, they're truly a mystery. And so therefore, you see a guy like Grayson Murray and you just say, wow. It's so tough to get your head around. And I know this because I have a family member who has gone to the brink of alcoholism that really was one more day away from get your black suit out. We've got to go to a funeral. And thankfully, he was able to pull back from that twice now. And I worry about and think about him a lot. I have a good friend who used to go on our golf trip, who everybody, to a man, loves deeply. And he's in a very dark place right now. And I don't talk to him much. I try to reach out when I can. I text him as much as I can. You know, it's one of these things where you always say, well, of course I'm going to be there. I want to let him know, dude, life is great and life is short and life is precious and you have so much to offer. You want to be there for your friend to say, you know, to be supportive. But then there are times in which I think, could I be doing more harm than good? Like one of the nights at our golf trip, a bunch of us were talking about how much we missed him. And I went ahead and punched him up, called him on the phone, went to voicemail. And we all were like, we love you, man. We miss you. You got to get you back here next year. And we were feeling good talking about how fun he was to be around and is to be around and wishing him to come back and telling him we love him. And something nagging in me afterwards said, God darn it. I hope that doesn't hit the wrong way. I hope he doesn't hear that and think, God damn it, failure. I've let these guys down. Like, that's the last thing you want. And I saw a number of people kind of taking cheap shots at the PGA Tour because they apparently didn't have as robust, some say, of a mental health support program available as some other leagues. This is not the time. And honestly, it's up to everyone themselves to fight their own demons and to try to get the help they need. It's not up to professional sports leagues. But to think that a guy who seemingly had turned the corner, who had just unlocked an incredible pathway to a lot more money and security, and he was engaged. Damn. And if that wasn't hard enough to get your head around, I heard the Stan Van Gundy interview with Dan Le Batard about his wife who took her own life at 61 6 months ago.
Forgive me, I should tell the audience that you lost your wife, Kim, in August.
In August. And, you know, she took her own life, Dan, and I don't care how long it goes. I can't imagine that I'll ever get over that. I mean, it was devastating. And like, we'd been married for 35 years and had been together for close to 40 years. I mean, since I was 24 years old, I mean, I just sort of like what I said with my brother, but with her, my entire adult life, I mean, I trace everything, job changes, kids, everything. I mean, I was with her and she was by my side. And just what you said about your brother, I never, ever envisioned that I was going to live another day in my life without Kim. Never envisioned that. And I knew she was, you know, going through a tough time, but I still never envisioned that happening. And
Tough stuff there. If you want to listen to the whole interview, it's part of the South Beach Sessions podcast from Dan Le Batard. But, you know, it makes no sense. And when I hear about how teenage suicides, especially amongst young girls, has been on the rise, that blows my mind to think how. But it's a tough deal. I was thinking of other famous people who seemingly had the world in their palm and everything they could want. DJ Avicii killed himself. He was only 28 years old, had a net worth of $50 million a year, was making upwards of $10 million, $12 million a year just DJing. Most people say, man, give me that life. Anthony Bourdain, the noted food expert, critic, I'm not sure what you call him, a television star, confided to friends at one point. He said, you know what? I hate my life. I hate my fans. I hate being famous. I'm alone. I'm confused. I'm tormented. Oh, it's a hell of a thing. Rest in peace, Grayson Murray. Quick break here. When we come back, push to pass, more like push to cheat, only this time he didn't. Plus, I don't understand economics, and it's a tale as old as time. All that and more straight ahead. You're listening to the Zabecast. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
flag.
White flag, amigo. White flag.
White flag, amigo.
Here it comes.
There has never been a Mexican driver win the Indianapolis 500. Maybe that time is now. With one more lap to go, Pato goes to the lead.
He's not going to lift this time. He did it against Erickson and lost Pato Award to the front off of turn two.
Five back. Six back.
Award tries to break the draft. Newgarden's like, I've been in this situation before. Joseph Newgarden around the outside of Pato Award. This is mind-blowing. Joseph Newgarden had to wait 12 times for winning, and now he's going to do it back-to-back. Joseph Newgarden is a two-time Indy 500 winner. Oh, my goodness.
Incredible win for Joseph Newgarden back-to-back, and this after a cheating scandal in IndyCar that I was completely unaware of because, I'll be honest, I've kind of lost the scent of IndyCar racing. Now, many of you reached out and said, any chance you can get Ron Thomas on to talk about this? And I did reach out to Ron, and he said he'd be happy to talk to me about the whole thing, just doesn't want to be on the podcast. And I'm like, totally cool. Totally get it. He's at the Pacer game right now, and I'm watching it. It's in progress. Indiana trying to stave off a 4-0 sweep. No Halliburton tonight. They're up by two to start the fourth, or at the end of the third quarter right now. So I don't have a final score on that. Ronnie, I'm going to look for you in the stands. I'm going to squint my eyes. He's still in Indy after going to the race yet again. Incredible finish. Pato Award. Pato Award, did I get that right? Very popular, almost won this race last year, but then apparently was driving. Some criticized him as not aggressive enough last year. Pato O-apostrophe Ward, Mexican-born IndyCar driver. What a name. Pato O. Ward. But Newgarden wins, and they said that the win helps push further in the background the cheating scandal that happened back in March with an illegal push-to-pass software code on Team Penske's race cars. I'm like, okay, holy shit. I've heard of push-to-pass. I understand vaguely what it is. It's a design element of IndyCars in which you push a button and it allows you to pass. It's like a turbo boost that every driver gets a certain number of them per race. Now, see, I'm already talking out my ass. Ronnie was not able to, I called him. He didn't pick up the phone. He was already going to the game. But apparently what happened was Penske's team had illegal push to pass on their cars, and they got caught using it only because of a glitch that knocked out all of the push to pass in the entire field in Long Beach this year. And the one team that still had it and used it, and they're like, hey, where'd you get that push to pass stuff, was Team Penske, all three of their guys. And they said, well, we don't understand, like, we didn't know it wasn't available on restarts. We thought that there was a rule change saying it was okay to use push to pass on restarts. Right. According to this AP story, it's simply not believable that one of three cars owned by series leadership thought a major rule had been changed without any public announcement. Newgarden and the number two team also didn't bother to talk over any suspected rule change with their teammates. The data that Newgarden had illegal access to P2P would be obvious to any Penske or Chevy engineer who reviewed his daily on-track metrics. Only a glitch during warm-ups at Long Beach revealed the fix. Even after his apology to the his colleagues on Saturday at a follow-up race, Penske still has doubters. One rival car owner told the AP that Penske, quote, knows exactly how many cars he sells daily, what tire pressure is on every one of his global leasing trucks, and said it's as if Penske couldn't possibly have been unaware of the shenanigans going on his team. I need to get up to speed on this further. If not Ronnie, somebody, I'll get another NASCAR or I'll get another racing guy on. to let me in on this, but it's crazy. But didn't happen at Indy, and Pato O'Ward, who went into the final lap leading and seemingly was in control, gets passed by Newgarden in what looked like, oh, you must have hit the turbo button or ran over a turtle in Mario Kart and just went right by him. But according to one story I read, it said it was just a ballsy effing pass that normally ends up in disaster, but instead Newgarden pulled it off. Hell of a finish right there. All right, NBA games. So we're looking at twin sweeps as we speak. The first of the two sweeps could come tonight. No team has ever survived a 3-0 deficit in an NBA playoff series. The number is 154-0. And that's what both Indiana and Minnesota are facing. Boston wins Saturday night against Indy in Indy after being down 18 points in the third. Halliburton was out, still out again on Monday night. And they even overcame an 8-point deficit with 3:05 to go. It was the Drew Holiday game in which Drew was sick, but then finished with a burst with a 3-point play and then got a steal of Nembhard late. That was another great Drew defensive moment. Had somebody tweet me saying, okay, Zabe, I'm a casual, but can you explain to me once again why on earth did they trade, why did the Bucks trade Drew Holiday in that three-way deal that brought Dame Lillard to Milwaukee? Explain it to me like I'm a 10-year-old. And I said, well, the 10-year-old explanation is basically they needed another scorer, they being the Bucks. They needed another scorer because when Giannis got hurt last season of the playoffs and when Middleton got hurt the year before that, they did not have enough scoring. It just was, you know, Holiday is a great leader. He is a great defensive point guard. He is a level-headed veteran presence. He's a really good NBA player. I'm happy for him, by the way, that he's doing well in Boston. But they needed to make a change, and they hoped that, you know, Dame would be an upgrade. Now, he hadn't been this year, but this is where you have to say, okay, the story is not fully written. Last year, when the Mavericks pulled the trade for Kyrie Irving, it pretty much tanked their season. And I, as well as many others, laughed in Mark Cuban's face. You bring on a known cancer, ball-dominant, high-volume shooter, and he's going to coexist with your existing NBA superstar and Luka Doncic, ball-dominant, high-volume shooter. Oh, shit. You guys are really working it out, aren't you? They changed the narrative. They changed the story this year. And right now, up 3-0 against the Timberwolves, and we'll talk to Charge later in the week, who said to us, I'm ready to have my heart broken again. Oh, and he's getting it broken good and hard. They're playing incredible basketball, the two of them. They're outplaying Anthony Edwards and Carl Anthony Towns big time in both shooting, points per game, et cetera, et cetera. So Kyrie and Luka, 30 points per game. They've both scored 30 a game, three games in a row. 33 and 33 for the two of them in their win on Sunday, 116-107, in which they finished on a 14-3 run. Derek Lively got a nasty concussion for Dallas. And other than the Anthony Edwards MJ-like dunk, it was not a great night for Minnesota. They were kind of close toward the end. They were blitzing Luka most of the night to try to get the ball out of his hands. It worked, sort of. But like I said, the 14-3 finish was the big one. Luka, though, on Friday to start the weekend, hits that shot over Rudy Gobert en route to a 32-13-10 night to beat Minnesota 109-108, and then screams, "You can't guard me, bugger." I mean, that white boy can play. Who you call white boy? You're a white boy. I know. He is incredible. And I was not a huge Luka Doncic fan until now. I'm a full convert at this point. And he's playing through like three different injuries. Also, Dallas was down 16 in the third. What do they say about the NBA? Everybody makes a run. So we got the potential if Indiana loses here and it's a four-game sweep, and if in game four tomorrow night, and I think it's tomorrow night, that'd be Tuesday or tonight, I should say. Let me check my phone here just to be sure. If the Mavericks sweep the Timberwolves, then we will have 9 days. Yes, Minnesota-Dallas Tuesday night, 8:30 p.m. on TNT. We'll have 9 days to sit around cooling our heels until the NBA Finals begins, because that's when they're scheduled to begin, June 6th. It'd be nice if they moved it up, but logistics, hotel rooms, television schedules, and on and on. One more thing on the NBA. Tony Brothers, who is a referee you've probably seen before, I don't want to describe him because it'll come off as mean. I think he's pretty well regarded as a referee, but I may be wrong. I'll have to check with my boy Steve Buckhantz, because Buck is Mr. Referee. He knows all the refs in the league. I think he's pretty well regarded, but listen to this story about how he became a referee and how he really doesn't like basketball.
I don't even really care too much for basketball in the sense of not a fan, like just watching it. When I ended up refereeing in the NBA because I wanted to be a judge.
Oh, no way.
And I applied to two schools, William & Mary and UVA, and they both said no. My mom made a call over to Old Dominion and someone that she knew about a week before school started, and they admitted me there. And after I graduated, I ended up working for a consulting firm. That same mom called someone she knew and got me a job at the consulting firm, where I met a lady that refereed basketball. She told me how to get started, and here I am. So the whole desire to be judge, I didn't know what type of judge I was going to be, but now I'm the judge, a jury, prosecuting attorney, defense attorney, everybody.
Right. Kind of came full circle there.
Absolutely.
I don't really care for basketball. I'm not much of a fan. Maybe Brothers is a pretty well-rated and regarded referee. Maybe that's what you need to be. Is to be indifferent to the actual game itself. Just be like, look, I'm here to call fouls. I'm not here to get into it about, you know, all this other stuff. I'm not fanboying over anybody. I'm just foul, no foul, be level head. A quick thought on economics and the price of things. So I'm sitting in a brand new chair from Office Depot that cost all of $119. It is a lovely office chair. It is padded. I know it's faux leather, but it's firm and it is comfortable. It's made by Emerge. It's like a gaming chair company, but this is not really a gaming chair. And it's got kind of a neutral ivory white tone to it with some gray accents. It looks nice. Of course, when I brought it in the house, my wife was like, oh my God, another office chair. I said, I'm tired of the one I'm sitting in. And this is what I do. I sit on my ass for hours and hours and hours at a time, broadcasting, podcasting, researching, et cetera, et cetera. I want to be comfortable. $119, a pretty good deal. Actually, it was $140 because I bought it assembled. Even though the assembly would have been very easy, it's you just put the two arms on, you put the caster, it would no big deal. But then I would have to get the box. Now Staples, they get them all pre-assembled, lined up. They're like, here, just take one for $20 extra. I'm like, sure. And the guy hooked me up with, I think, $5 off assembly and free extended warranty on it. So I got that going for me, which was nice. $119, pretty good deal. I also had to buy a plastic carpet protector chair mat, because my old chair mat had finally started to disintegrate and come apart into pieces. I'm sure those of you with a home office of the plastic mat know this dance. Eventually they wear out. Now I've ordered so-called permanent chair mats, like that are made out of hard wood, and they get all scratched up and they look like shit. I ended up putting it over in another room where my daughter spends a lot of time with the computer, and I let her deal with it. I replace this plastic stupid thing at least once a year. At least once a year. My hunch is it's twice a year, but I'm now going to know because on the back of it, I made sure to write in silver Sharpie. It's a black mat. I wrote the date just to see when I finally peel it up and go, well, this one's trashed. Got to go send it out to the garage, go get a new one. Just want to see how long they last. It wouldn't be so bad except for the price. Do you know what this thing costs, this plastic mat at Staples? $60. That's right, 60. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, where do you get $60 in technology in this plastic, this flat plastic hunk? Okay, so it's got little nubs in the bottom to keep it, you know, anchored to the floor. Whoopity-doo. 60. It's insane. I think they know, what are you going to do? Just have your rolling chair on your carpet and trash your carpet? It costs a lot more money to replace the carpet once you wear that out, fat ass. Hey, that's enough already. Come on now. And I guess they realize, well, you can't make one of these yourself. Where are you going to get the extruded polyethylene molding to be able to make one of these? What else you can do? You're going to tie a bunch of bamboo shoots together and make your own carpet mat? Ha-ha! We got you right where we want you. Now, maybe on Amazon, they're cheaper. I'm sure you should probably check. But the shipping on them, I guess they could kind of curl them up, put them in a box. It's a fairly sizable, bulky item, but $60. These things should be no more than $19.99 a piece. So I ask you, for those that understand economics, why on earth, how on earth does the plastic mat that will be disintegrated and gone probably by the end of the calendar year? And my chair, I think the chair is going to last for quite some time. How is it half the price of the chair? I don't get it. I just don't understand it. But I do understand this. Pussy is undefeated. Mazel, mazel to Raiders owner Mark Davis, who, to be kind, looks like an alien baby. In terms of his, hey, I thought you said you were being, okay, let's be honest. He's one of the ugliest people you've ever seen. And he's not in great shape. And he doesn't spend much money on his haircuts. But he's a billionaire. A lowercase b billionaire. But he's still a billionaire. So a tale as old as time. Mazel, mazel. Good things, as they say.
Mazel, mazel. Good things.
His girlfriend is pregnant. His 26-year-old girlfriend. He's 70. She's 26. Tale as old as time. I'm sure she was a cocktail waitress or a lounge hostess somewhere in Vegas and somehow won the heart of billionaire, lowercase b, Mark Davis. And she looked at him and said, I know he looks like an alien baby, but there's something about him. His wit, his humor. He takes care of me. I'm in love. And now she's pregnant. Probably, maybe, better get a test on this with his child. I want to see this Maury episode. Mark Davis and his 26-year-old girlfriend, Hayden Hopkins. Tale as old as time.
Mazel, mazel. Good things.
And that'll do it for me today. Thanks for listening. Have a great Tuesday, and we will see you tomorrow. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs, look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up.